You've probably heard this, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Have you seen any illustrations of that recently? Well, if you ever turn on the news or any kind of information source, you've seen plenty of illustrations of that. It seems to happen on all levels, locally, all the way up. People in power continue to take advantage of their positions, to abuse their power, to overstep their authority, and to be corrupted. This was true of many of God's people in the Bible. You know, when you look at the kings who ruled over Israel, most of them were pretty bad. In fact, the good ones were really an exception. But the list of bad kings is quite extensive. Most of them failed to lead God's people in ways that would be helpful to them and of which the Lord would approve. And as we turn back to the book of Ezekiel this morning, this is the problem the prophet addresses. In Ezekiel 34, he talks about, and actually speaks to these failed leaders of God's people, the failed leadership there. So I'll give you a moment to find that, Ezekiel 34. We've been in Ezekiel for a while, and I was just curious this morning. Have you become a fan of Ezekiel? Come on, any fans? One? Anyone? Two? Okay, couple? Some? Okay, good. Some are just waiting for it to get over, right? Okay, let's get through this. Well, you know, next month, the end of the next month is Palm Sunday. And we'll be in the wonderful Christian holiday season coming up and not that too far. But first, we have a few more chapters in Ezekiel to look at. And actually, there's some really exciting ones coming up, some that you may be more familiar with than some of the ones we've looked at are coming up. And some good things happening in the book of Ezekiel. But chapter 34 also has some good news in it, but it has some bad news in it as well. Now, before I read this, I'm going to just say a couple things. One is a frequent way the Bible, the scriptures, talk about God's people is as a flock. It uses sheep and the imagery of a flock of sheep to speak of the people of God, even in the reading today that was referred to, Psalm 23. And you find it in various places in the Bible. For instance, in these Psalms, Psalm 103, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So there, it's just stated straight out. We're His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 95:7, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And then, we have another verse here, but it was common for the leaders of God's people, the kings, especially the kings, to be referred to as a shepherd. Now, this happened not just in Israel, but all throughout the ancient Near East, the surrounding countries, the kings often spoke of themselves as the shepherd. And this we see in 2 Samuel 5, where there's a group of people talking to David, King David. And they said this, the Lord said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people, Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. And they anointed David king over Israel. So at the point they were making or anointing him king formally, it was pointed out that he would be the shepherd. So you see this? So the 2 points I'm making. One is that, and you knew this, commonly the Bible refers to God's people as sheep. Or his sheep. And there's a lot of imagery with that, you know, that a lot of things about sheep that you can compare to God's people. But the second point is that the leaders, the kings, were also seen as shepherds. And it is about shepherds that Ezekiel is going to speak. But really, shepherds meaning the kings or the leaders of God's people. So we are going to read this in just a moment, but I wanted to point out another passage first where this, we see this similar message, and it comes in Jeremiah 23. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 3, he said this, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." And the reason I point this out is because Jeremiah was a contemporary of Ezekiel. In fact, he was also a priest prophet. But Jeremiah just stayed back in Judah and around Jerusalem. But Ezekiel, as we know, went with the exiles. And he's over there near Babylon, many hundreds of miles away. But yet, the same message God gives to both of them, referring to the kings who have failed in their leadership of the people, and how God is going to rescue his people, the sheep. Okay? So, having said all that, let's read what God has to say to Ezekiel in chapter 34, verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves, I will rescue my sheep from their mouth, and they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them in justice." So, what we have here is a case of some pretty bad shepherds. pretty bad. And of course, he's not talking about shepherds trying to make a living taking care of literal sheep. He's speaking about the leaders of God's people, the kings, most likely the most recent kings in the line of bad kings leading up to the exile that caused God's people to be thrown out of Jerusalem and carted off into foreign countries. And so using this metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd, Ezekiel begins a detailed description of their failed leadership. And he actually gives a lot of details. And he repeats himself. I mean, he does. His manner of writing this and the way God presented it to him, there's a lot of repetition in what he says here. And so the first part of this passage has to do with bad shepherds. And in verses 3 and 4, he talks about what they did wrong. They exploited the people, but did not do the one thing they were supposed to do. The one thing they were supposed to do was to care for the people. The shepherd is to care for the sheep. The king was to care for the people. And they did not do that. Instead, they fed themselves. They cared about themselves, but not the sheep. And he goes on to name some of the specific responsibilities they neglected. You did not strengthen the weak. You did not heal the sick. You did not bind up the injured. You did not bring back the strays. And you did not seek the lost. These are the things a shepherd would do, a decent shepherd would do, if he was in charge of a flock of sheep. And these are the things that God's shepherds or leaders should have done, but they did not. Instead, he says, you ruled over the people with harshness. With harshness. And that's interesting because it's a rare word, this word for harshness here. It only appears two other times in the whole Bible. And once in the book of Leviticus, it's something that's prohibited, that you cannot be harsh in your dealings with your fellow Hebrews. God prohibits this kind of behavior among the people. You cannot treat each other with harshness. And the other place it's used as a description of the way God's people suffered under Pharaoh while they were slaves in Egypt. They were treated harshly. They were treated as slaves. And it's kind of what's hinted at here is that you're treating your own people not with tenderness and care, but with harshness. You're treating them like Pharaoh treated them. You're breaking you're going against the very thing I commanded you not to do. In the end, the overall problem is seen in verse 2. They cared more for themselves than the sheep. And so these kings, these leaders, fell into the temptation. They fell into this trap to use their positions of authority, of power, for their own gain and to neglect the welfare of the people. So what's unusual about this is that this is God's people. These are His people. And you might say, well, in the world, we expect this. And we do. We see this all the time. It never ends. It has always been a part of people in leadership to abuse power. Now, I would say good ones are the exceptions to that. But among God's people, it was not supposed to be this way. Their leaders were to lead with compassion and care in a way that would be approved by God. But they fell into that temptation, how power corrupts, and being king, having absolute power, corrupts absolutely. And so they were not exempt from that. And so as God's shepherds, they have failed God and they have failed His people. And that now their awful leadership resulted in God's people being scattered In verses 5 and 6, he talks about this. He's describing the exile. They're out of the land. They were taken out of the land God gave to them because, and he's putting it on their shoulders, at least in part, because the leaders, the shepherds, did not guide the people in the right way. And we see this in Ezekiel and all through the prophets and the whole Old Testament, that the leaders often fell into idolatry, and into other sinful practices. And they didn't trust in the Lord, but they turned to other gods. And they committed all kinds of sins. And so this set a pattern for others to follow. They promoted these other gods in the land. And as a result of this, God had enough with all their sinfulness, and they were thrown out of the land. So Ezekiel lays the blame for this whole Babylonian exile, to some extent, upon the shepherds. Upon these people entrusted with leadership and care for God's people. Now, it's not a stretch to see how this speaks to God's shepherds today. Who are God's shepherds today? Who are God's shepherds? Well, I think it's obvious that it's the leaders in his church. It is pastors and it is elders, maybe others with different designations. But it's those in places of authority who are charged with the responsibility for caring for God's flock. Now, I told Dan and Aaron that I was going to talk about bad shepherds today. So I was going to use them as examples. No, I'm just joking. Okay, I'm not going to speak about them at all. So you two guys can be relieved. I'm not going to mention those things. But the problem, and this is the problem, is that the shepherds in the church, pastors, elders, or whatever you call them, they face the same temptations that the pastors in the Old Testament, or any people really face. And the root of it, the problem, is this thing that we struggle with in Christianity as followers of Jesus, is to care more about myself and not about other people. Even if you're not a leader in the church, you know you probably struggle with that. Marriages, the problems in marriages are so often traced to this problem about husbands and wives caring more about themselves than about their spouse. It's what I want, not what you want. We struggle with this in our walk with God. God tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. Paul says, don't be concerned about only your own interests, but also the interests of others. Okay? So we have this put upon us to love each other and care about one another. But leaders in the church face this same problem, and they have to be able to have victory over this and not become a self-serving leader. And there are examples of this that you've heard about and continue to hear about in the church at large. Not our church, but in the church overall. You hear about pastors, leaders, fleecing the flock, taking advantage of them, doing things to promote themselves, not really caring about their welfare, but caring more about yourself. And that is something that pastors, elders, really need to struggle with. So in the Bible, in the New Testament, we see guidance given to leaders. Two verses we're going to look at are 1 Peter 5 and Acts 20. Peter says this. And as he says this, I think maybe he has Ezekiel 34 in mind, because it's just so, the connections are so clear. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So Peter says, it's not for shameful gain. This was a problem back then. And it's not, you're not to domineer or lord it over, is usually the phrase that's commonly used. Lord it over. Think, well, I'm an elder, I'm a pastor, I can tell you what to do, and you have to listen to me. Not this kind of attitude. That's not what God has in mind at all for his leaders. They're not to have that kind of forceful way, but to do it with love and tenderness in leading God's people. Paul, speaking to the elders at Ephesus, says this. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To what? Care for the church. Care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Because I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So Paul says here a few things. Pay attention to yourself and the flock. Leaders in the church are to pay attention to their own lives. Paul said this to Timothy. Pay careful attention to your own life. That you yourself are walking with the Lord. That there's not ongoing sin in your life. That you're right in your relationships with other people as far as you can be. Pay attention to that. And pay attention to the flock, the church, because you're an overseer. Be aware. Be caring. Be mindful. Be alert. Be aware of what is going on with people so you can help them, all in guiding them on this path of Jesus. That's what the shepherds in the church are main primary goal is to help us all maintain ourselves on the road of following Jesus. So sometimes they see someone kind of straying off the road a little bit. They come over and just say, hey, why don't you come back over here? Come on back. Yeah, let's walk over here. They see someone else and they say, well, oh boy, they've kind of gone backwards. I got to go get them. Come on, you need to come back here and guide them. Bring them back to the way that they should be. Paul also talks here about wolves coming in. And part of the role of elders and pastors is to protect the flock of God. Protect it from people coming in with and teaching false things. We're trying to take advantage of the church. We're trying to get money from the church. Or whatever it is they're trying to do to take advantage of the church wrongly. The elders and the pastors have to be aware of this. And they have to watch carefully what is being taught in the church. Okay? You should listen carefully to what is being taught in the church. All of you, but the elders too. If I'm going off track, you got to come and tell me. That's not right. I don't see. How do you see it that way? And so we want to make sure we stay on track in the teachings of the right teachings of Christ as we see in the scripture and of all of the Bible. We want to stay on track. And this is what the shepherds are here to do. And you see here, though, it requires a combination of tenderness, but also a little bit of toughness if you're going to be a shepherd. It's not an easy job. It's really not an easy job. I know some of you think, well, what? Come on, you just work on Sundays. That's pretty easy. Yeah, that's right. That's all I do. That's all we do. It's just show up on Sunday and start just talking off the top of my head. Now, it may seem like I'm just talking off the top of my head, but really it's not the case. But it's difficult because you're dealing with people and people are all struggling. They're struggling with hurts and temptations and problems. and you're trying to help them and trying to help them follow the Lord, and they always have that sinful nature that we still have in our lives, and sometimes they don't want to follow the Lord, and so they, it's just hard. It's just really hard. So there are some things, though, I was thinking that you can do to help us all. I'm not going to go on, just a couple things. But Hebrews 13:17 speaks to the sheep about leaders. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. You know, there's a lot of nights at those elders' meetings where there's a lot of groaning going on. I can tell you. And the elders can tell you. Oh, man, what? Groaning. Tough decisions, hard problems to solve. What should we do in this case? But I would say these two things. One, you can really help the elders. Try not to wander off. Try not to wander off. Stay with the flock, okay? Because if we don't see you, we're going to wonder where you are. Are you sick? Are you offended? Have you fallen into sin? Have you been abducted by aliens? Well, maybe you're mad at me. Or maybe you're mad at someone else in the church. Or maybe you've decided not to be a part of the church, but you just haven't told anybody. We don't know these things unless you tell us. And I want you to know, if you ever have problems or concerns, you can come and talk with the elders at any time. You can always come talk to me at any time. You really can. Meeting with the elders sounds much more intimidating than it really is. They're really just a bunch of nice guys who care about you and will respect and whatever you want to say and share with them. They really are. Okay? So if there is some problem besides COVID, I know a lot of people aren't attending because of COVID, but if there ever is, becomes a problem where you're not attending, please let us know. Okay? Just do me that favor. Okay? So we don't have to sit around groaning at our meetings. Secondly, understand that we are imperfect. We try our best, but we are fallible. But above all, I want you to know this, and this is absolutely the truth. The elders of this church, including the pastors, care about you. They care deeply about you. Even when we might disagree, that is certain. They care about you. You may not feel they do, but it is true. They pray for you. They would do almost anything they possibly could to help you. And they love you very, very much. They really do. And they're so glad that you're a part of the church. Okay, well, let's come back to Ezekiel, because now we have to get to the good part. The good part here in Ezekiel is that the Lord is going to do what the shepherds should have done. And he tells us here in the last part of this passage that the Lord's finished with these guys, these kings. He's done with them. He says, I am against them in verse 10. They are out of business. They will no longer suffer. The people will no longer suffer under their terrible leadership. So he's getting rid of them. And he did get rid of them. They were taken away. And they came, some of them, to very sad ends. Much of it they brought upon themselves. But there's something more. Not only in verse 10 does he say he's against them, but he declares that he is going to care for his people himself. He says that he is going to be the shepherd of his people. He's going to seek them out and rescue them from their exile. He's going to do this. And actually, this happens in the coming years from when this was spoken. God is going to put into the heart of the Persian king Cyrus. And he's going to put it in his heart to release any of the people from Jerusalem or from Judah who want to go back. And you read this in the book of Ezra, the beginning, first chapter. And so the people are released. And we know, I mean, the Bible talks about this, but it's also in other places. There's documents that we can read that still exist. One of the famous ones is in the British Museum, which I hope to see one day, the cylinder of Cyrus. And in it, he talks about sending the people across the river back. And he does this, and God put it in his heart. So God is now moving, and he's getting his people back into the land. And he's going to protect and care for them. In verse 16, he says, he will do for his shepherds, for his sheep, what the shepherds did not. And if you look at verse 16 and look at verse 4, you see that God is going to do himself everything that they failed to do. It's almost an exact mirror opposite of it, but God is going to do these. And the very things that they did not do. And as he says in verse 15, he himself will be the shepherd of his people. Do you see that? If you see that in your Bibles, if you underline or highlight or anything, that's a good part to mark. In verse 15, he says that. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful reality. It's a wonderful way to live. To have the Lord as your shepherd and not be in want. It's so liberating for a believer to come to this point of understanding when they really experience the shepherding of God in their life, where he is your Lord and he is guiding you and directing you and caring for you and protecting you and providing for you. It's a wonderful way to live. I have seen God as my shepherd in the last couple years do so many things that it has just been remarkable to me how he has cared for me even with my own mistakes and failures. God has stepped in and acted in my life in several ways as my shepherd. It's a wonderful thing to know that he is there with you, guiding you and with you, and that you're not alone. And the one person, Jesus, who loves you more than anyone else will ever love you, is the one guiding your life and caring for you. When Jesus is your Lord, obeying and following him, you shall not want. That's what the psalm said. You shall not want. God's going to provide for you. This is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Follow God and his righteousness. And what will happen? All these things will be added to you. All the things you need. Why? So you won't be in want. He's saying the same thing as Psalm 23:1 is saying. This is the glorious life of the Christian. You can walk with God liberated from worries and concern because he is with you and he's going to care for you. If you fall down, he will pick you up. If the wolves attack, the good shepherd will turn them away. If there is scarcity, he is going to provide. If there may be sickness and injury, but the good shepherd will heal you. And when you walk with the Lord, you may have many trials, but the Lord is with you. And he will bring you through them. See, this is the way God wants us to live. With this knowledge, this belief rooted deeply inside us that He is shepherding us and we are following Him. And when you put together following Jesus and Jesus' care of a good shepherd in our life, you have a wonderful life. You have a wonderful life. So the question it becomes then, I would ask you this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Are you allowing Him to lead you in your life? Are you following Him? I mean, that's part of what the shepherd does. He leads. You follow the shepherd. And He cares for you. But if you're not following Him, then you're kind of on your own. And you're open to all kinds of problems and troubles. The Lord is my shepherd. It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And I hope all of you know the Lord is your shepherd. If you don't, you can welcome Him into your life. You can invite Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord. It comes just by a simple expression of faith. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And perhaps you've done that, but maybe you haven't. Or maybe you're one of those sheep, but you've kind of gone off track. Maybe you're keeping it secret, but you're kind of out there. And you're in places you know you shouldn't be. Well, today the Good Shepherd would call you back. To get back with the flock and back in step with Him. Father, I pray that all of us would be closely walking with You. We thank You, Lord, that You are the Good Shepherd. Lord, I thank You that You are my Good Shepherd. Man, You have been so good in my life. So good. We thank You, Lord, for the under-shepherds that you call out to serve and to help lead Your people. Help all of us in these roles, Lord. Help us to be good shepherds, faithful. Keep us from that awful sin of caring more about ourselves than the others. Help us to follow the pattern of Jesus who laid down His life for the sheep. Lord, we pray that You would help us and bless the flock of this church, Lord. Bless them abundantly and let them know the blessings of walking with You. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.